Welcome to episode 310 of WordPress Weekly for Wednesday, March 28th, 2018. I'm your host, Jeff Chandler, joined by John James Jacoby. And as it was astutely pointed out to me by a listener, since the beginning of this year, I've been saying 2017 in all the show intros. And I had no idea. So thank you out there to the listener who left a comment on the show and correcting me. It is the year 2018.
It only took us 33% of the year to notice that. You know, get into a flow, right? You get into a rhythm of, and 2017 just sound, it rolls off the tongue so nicely.
It does. You know, it's like when the beginning of the year happens, and if you write checks or write anything that requires a date, you know, you're writing 2017 all year, and you still end up doing it for the first couple of weeks in the new year. Who writes stuff anymore? Do you use a pen? What's a pen?
No. And in fact, Carrie and I have Simple for our checking. And so Simple's like an online only kind of bank.
Of course.
And it is surprisingly difficult to move any amount of money around when you want to say, you know, build a house or buy anything with real money. It's really, really hard. So there is the one time every 10 years where you're like, could really use a checkbook right now.
Yes.
But other than that, no.
So last week we did you were off vacationing or doing something. I think you're at Work Camp Miami and then vacationing. But we had Alberto Medina on the show and Weston Reuter, and I felt it was a great show. We covered a lot of ground with AMP. And did you get a chance to take a listen to that, sir?
No, I should have. I really was upset that was the week that I missed out on the AMP discussion, because that would have been a lot of fun. And I didn't listen to it because I don't. It's weird listening to the show that you're on. And so I don't listen.
But you weren't on that show.
I know. I probably should have listened to it. I will. I'll listen to it. I'll make it a point to listen.
Anyways, it was a pretty good show. And thanks again for Alberto and Western coming on. And now, you know, now I'm looking all over the internet. Now there's all these articles about how, in fact, the New York Times just did a piece about how AMP in email is deeply flawed. So it's like AMP all over again, but now for email. In terms,
what did they say? I didn't read it. What's the gist? Do you know it?
I did not get a chance to read it either.
Okay,
all I read was the headline.
That's all I had
time for.
Have I ranted about email with you before? Have you heard me?
You may or may not have ranted
because about I really like email. I know that everyone hates email, and I know that as a protocol, it's sort of flawed. But email is like the perfect system that we all hate. It's threaded, it's distributed, it's disconnected from your
contact. Okay, now it's coming back to me. You did rant about email.
I love email. So I need to read that because I'm curious what piece of the tech that they think is flawed. Because there's a lot of pieces of it that aren't perfect, I guess, but I'll have to read it.
So you, sir, were at Work Camp Miami where there was a Gutenberg track, a business sort of track, a fireside chat with Matt Mulloway that you once again found yourself on stage, sitting next to Matt, asking him questions. It's like WordPress Weekly all over again. Tell us and the audience about your experience at Work Camp Miami.
Work Camp Miami this year was really, really, it was a great 10-year anniversary for Word Camp Miami, because that's what this was. The first Word Camp Miami was actually a bar camp, which had a WordPress track in it, and it's been 10 years since then. This year was, so Word Camp Miami does a good job of doing not a contributor day, but some kind of day that is committed to either development or learning or workshops, be it business or kids coding or whatever else. And so this year, they instead of doing a buddy camp, they did like three separate tracks about e-commerce, about the future of WordPress development, which is largely Gutenberg focused. And then a beginner's workshop. And by beginner, I mean like what is my email address and how do I use it sort of beginners. So really walking everyone through like the beginning and end of getting WordPress installed and navigating it and everything. So everyone that, so I kind of dipped in and out of all of the workshops. I hung out with John Blackburn from Human Made, sort of popular for the Query Monitor plugin and a bunch of others. So we hung out in the back of the beginning of the Gutenberg one and then kind of made my way around from there. But it was, I really like that Miami has a heavy emphasis on learning and on education at the very beginning. I think that's a really smart thing to do once you have a really big event like Miami has, where they have hundreds of attendees year over year. This year was a little bit interesting at the beginning because of the tragedy at FIU with the bridge collapse. Mm-hmm. And so I was just arriving in Miami at the time, and Apple Maps drove me right past it, basically right immediately after it had happened. And so it was unreal. It was
you're thinking about, boy, you know, you weren't too far off from driving under that bridge, right?
Isn't that the truth? It was really, you know, I mean, a half hour, an hour ahead of time. And so when I landed and got a message from Carrie about the bridge collapse, and there were friends of ours had messaged and asked, and I, you know, when you do it without a lot of context, I'm not really sure what is happening, because I was on a plane the whole time, and then you land and you see it and like, oh, well, boy,
I was checking Facebook and I saw a couple of people saying they marked themselves safe. Mm-hmm. During the in Miami, the FIU tragedy, and I'm like, whoa, what's going on here? And then I went online, and that's when I found out about the bridge collapse.
So it was the organizing committee for WordCamp Miami did an unbelievably outstanding job of communicating to hundreds of event attendees what that meant and how to compensate for it and how to work around it. I think even some folks during lunch had the idea to bring the leftover food from lunch to some of the volunteers and the workers that were on scene, which is really kind of what all of this is all about. So there were just so many awesome little highlights throughout the entire event that I could spend the entire episode today talking about it. I should probably blog about it instead. But the cumulative of it is that, like, it's a beautiful campus. There's all of the really amazing speakers and sessions are everything from local to people that travel. And then hanging out with Matt for a half hour, 45 minutes at the end is always fun.
Yeah. So what did you two talk about? Now, I know this was live streamed and people could watch it. I did not get a chance to check it out, but what did you two talk about?
So Matt and I think both like to kind of just wing it. So there was no real agenda or plan, but it kind of went through the, like, with a 10-year anniversary at WordCamp Miami, I thought that it was kind of more appropriate to go through the history of WordPress, since this is a 15 years of WordPress and 10 years of WordCamp Miami. So kind of tried to make it a little bit more intimate, like more about, like, what 15 years ago, where was Matt? Like, what was his vision for any of this, let alone the vision for Gutenberg and stuff going forward? So really tried to take two rooms full of, you know, I guess 500 or 600 attendees and try and make them feel like they're sitting in the room with the both of us together instead of in a room with 700 people. So it was nice to kind of get the behind the scenes version of where WordPress started and what Matt's vision and idea and the name, where did WordPress get its name from? And how did that come about? And the buying.
How did this Gutenbeard look up close? Did it look good?
It looked well-groomed. it smelled nice. Gutenbeard is still going on strong. It was fun, though. It was good to hang out and sit down. And then afterwards, which was probably the highlight for most people, aside from listening to me talk, was the game show and the WordPress bingo at the end.
Wow.
And so that was really fun to watch people not only like play the game. Here's what I thought was the most fun about this, and then we can stop talking about WordCamp Miami. But after Matt and I's Q&A, there was a whole game show thing that happened. And and so Brian Richards and some others put bingo and the games together, and then they the games and the Q&A was fun because it was like trivia and WordPress trivia and technology trivia, but it was watching people game the system.
Yes, of course.
Watching people not really cheat, but watching them come up with clever names for themselves for each round, watching them like at some point Mark Zuckerberg won some things, which was funny, and then David Bissett won, even though it was like his daughter, I think, was pretending to be him on screen. And so it was just all of this really hilarious stuff at the end, where it was just watching a group of hundreds of people just laugh for, you know, 45 minutes together was really, really cool. There were just lots of neat highlights, but that to me, I think, really was a cool way to close it up.
Yeah, like you said, Miami sort of set the stage for an emphasis on education, so that the business track, JavaScript, they had JavaScript, learned JavaScript deeply at one time, Gutenberg, a beginner's track, and I saw the business track was very well received. There was, I think, Josh Strabel, Sam Balky, a couple, Kareem was there, everybody sharing their knowledge on business stuff, and I heard it was well received by the audience.
Everyone seemed to really enjoy the whole thing. And because the weather is beautiful, you get to eat lunch outside and hang out. And
the food looked pretty good too.
barbecue every year. Yeah.
Of course. So what do you say? We didn't get a chance to go over any news last week, so we got some things to talk about here today.
All right.
Including one story where I get to throw you under the bus. run you over, back up, run you over again.
Great. You know how much I love that.
But just that's what we call a teaser in the business of podcasting. So first up is a story that Lane Polson published on the Delicious Brains blog, which was pretty much a request to WordPress plugin developers to stop supporting legacy PHP versions. And in the post, he highlights some of the benefits of developing with newer versions of PHP. Basically, what the gist comes down to is that for the longest time now, WordPress core itself has not really moved the needle in terms of requirements of updated PHP versions. Now, it recommends PHP 7.2, I believe, is now in the recommended recommended version. And the gist of the post was that, well, if WordPress core isn't going to move the needle itself, we as plugin developers can perhaps push WordPress core along, and we have the ability to, or the plugin developers have the ability to support any PHP versions they want. They don't have to rely on backwards compatibility. You could cut users off from PHP 5.6 or 5.2 or whatever it is, or you could just focus on whatever PHP version you want and just sort of bring users along. And I knew when I wrote about this that the first thing people were going to latch on to is, no, core should be doing this. Why doesn't core, core should be doing this, not plugin developers. But your take, sir, as a developer yourself.
So I don't disagree. I hate saying that because it's a crappy way to agree. I agree. Okay. And I still don't think that this is the right thing to do, though. Because one of the really, if anything, aside from plugins and hooks and all the developers' Chrome that makes it fun to use, the reason why WordPress is to abstract all of this pain away from users and developers. Like, WordPress comes as a layer between how do you FTP files up and back and forth? How do you upload an image? How do you compress an image? Are you using Image Magic or GD? How are you sending an email? WordPress, the whole reason it's WordPress is so that nobody needs to care what the surrounding environment is outside of WordPress. And so it's nice that developers and business owners and themers and plugin, it's nice that everyone cares because we need to care. No one will care but us. So we do need to care. But WordPress is responsible for that abstraction, for not having it matter what version of PHP that we're using. And this, and not having it matter what version of Nginx or Apache that we're using, not having it matter what version of anything that happens to be on the server. With this is not a problem that we should be solving ourselves. This is a problem that WordPress should be trying to abstract away and solve for everyone.
Well, and, the arguments over the years, is that WordPress core, it's about backwards compatibility and things of that nature. Uh-huh. And then the pressure is, it's not really our problem. It's the web host. Let's get the web host and let's talk to them. And a lot of web hosts from the past year or two have moved over to PHP 7 or above. Right. So there's that. But then the argument from a lot of developers is, WordPress could use its clout and say PHP 7 something is required. And that would just... the thought process is that would force a majority of the web host out there to be PHP 7. Mm-hmm. Worked out that way, but
other silos are able to do this. This is why Apple wants 100% control over phones, software, devices, deployment, because they are able to say, we're moving from 32-bit apps to 64-bit apps, and we get to say at an operating system level, this app will not run as well because it isn't upgraded to use the latest APIs or whatever. And they're able to make that decision, not just because they're a business and they get to do whatever they want, but because they do have control over the environment on all ends of it. Because WordPress users don't have control over it, because they can't control what version of PHP they're using, or Nginx, or Apache, or whatever, Image Magic, GD, whatever, PHP Mailer, they don't know what version they're using and they shouldn't have to. And so this is one of those fun inside baseball conversations that we should be having with one another. At the end of the day, though, the right thing to do is to code in a way that will reach the audience that you're hoping to reach. That might be cutting edge, latest version, cleanest code, latest approach people. But that isn't the majority of the world's WordPress users. That's good for a certain audience. That's not good for 80 million users, though. And so it's nice and good that some people are leading that charge. People do need to lead that charge, but that isn't ultimately what's better in the end today for everyone.
I should note that there is a project launched earlier this year. It's called Serve Happy.
I saw that.
It's run by a group of volunteers, and its main goal is to reduce the number of WordPress installs running on unsupported PHP versions through education, awareness, and tools to help users update their site's PHP version. So it's a pretty cool project. And, it's a shame that this is even a thing to try it and is. Get all these people upgraded to PHP 7, because just the speed improvements alone in PHP 7 makes it all worth it.
It is a problem. What I don't know is, what does the PHP group do about this? How do they not have their own volunteer group, committee, team for approaching web hosts and say, guy, get off this old version of our PHP version. Why are you running 4.9 or 7? What is, get, why, why is it's nice that where we have the audience and the volunteers and the community and everything to do it, but how does the PHP working group of folks not also have their own group to handle this? Because yeah, they're not
an outreach group.
Yeah, because like in out in the world, this problem is all around us all the time. There are people who care about what size their water mains are and what how much electricity is coming into their house and or their business or their city block. And that matters to the people that it matters to, but that's a very small part of every community or municipality or whatever else. This is the web and a very large portion of it. And so we don't get to move as quickly, but it is important that there are people that are trying to make it move, because otherwise it will never move. My point is that if a developer of a plugin is going to say, we are 100% ditching PHP 5.3 or whatever, that needs to be a calculated decision, because they are going to break people's sites with some version of code, and WordPress will not help them. There is the problem, where WordPress will normally help you if you're running Nginx or Apache or some weird server config or whatever. WordPress cannot save users here. And that sucks, actually, because any plugin or theme developer can make WordPress look bad, even though it's not WordPress's fault.
Right.
And so that's the part, that's my point with all of this.
So let's move on. Let's talk about something controversial.
Oh, goody.
Controversial. But Michelle Felt published a tweet on Twitter, and it was just
a tweet on Twitter. Where else?
Tweet on Twitter of a lyric, a line that's if you turn on Hello Dolly plugin, which is bundled with WordPress, you'll see lyrics in the dashboard. You'll see lyrics and lines. And one of the lines in that plugin is, "Find her an empty lap, fellas." And Michelle wrote this message saying, "Wondering about my WordPress dashboard. Apparently, they're lyrics," which sort of triggered a conversation on Twitter, which triggered a conversation in Track about removing these lines. And that the two examples here was "Find her an empty lap, fellas," or "Find her a vacant knee, fellas." And the proposal was to remove those lines or replace them, with the idea that taken out of context and not realizing their lyrics or they're part of a song, that these things could be degrading to a certain populace, to women users or other users in WordPress. And so there's a lot of discussion about lyrics and the appropriate lines to the song and Louis Armstrong singing Hello Dolly live and all that stuff. This actually turned into an 82 comment nightmare on the tavern of people. I did not think it would go this way, but I guess looking back on it now, it sort of makes sense. But
I didn't either, so
the comments ranged from Hello Dolly should be unbundled from core, which always comes up when you talk about Hello Dolly, to people being snowflakes, to people being offended about everything these days, and come on, it's just a bunch of song lyrics. How can you be uptight about that? And some of the comments are just off the wall, craziness is kind of the only thing I can figure here, to where people are just jumping on each other for, well, I'm offended that you're offended about this, and it's just kind of crazy. But to wrap it up, in 4.9.5, which we'll talk about in a little bit, there were changes that were made to the lyrics. They have been removed. The offended ones have been removed in Hello Dolly. And so Hello Dolly will stay in WordPress. It just won't show those lyrics. So kind of an easy win, but
man, that's the right thing to do.
The comments about this.
Yeah. So here's... what's your take on all of it? I mean, I could share my opinion, but everyone's probably
I think to me, when I wrote this story, I'm like, okay, you know, this is and I wrote about it and I thought it was interesting, because in all the years of Hello Dolly, I mean, I've read and I've participated in conversations about removing Hello Dolly from core, but this was the first time I've seen the lyrics brought up in this way, that just by themselves are, you know, finding an empty lap, fellas, hey, I'm thinking stripper or something to that effect.
Sure.
You know, a pimp. And if you don't know their lyrics, then you're, yeah, like Michelle, you're wondering, what is this? Right. Why is this showing up in my dashboard? And to right. me, I'm like, okay, well, this is an easy win. Just remove the lines from the plugin and let's go about our day. There's an edge case. Here's something that adversely affects most mm-hmm. likely women. You know, it's degrading to women, and they already have enough stuff on their plate and enough things that they're battling in the tech industry and just in the world in general. This mm-hmm. is an easy win. Remove the lines and okay, let's move on. But I yep. 82 comments later, just craziness.
The comments they're like their own separate conversation that you and I should have. I feel like on or off the air, I guess is up to you. But like, I think removing those lyrics is the right thing to do. But the argument about it being, you know, lyrics and it being artistic is the same argument to be had for dropping an F-bomb in your poetry during the State of the Word.
Oh,
right?
Wow.
So if it's okay, or if it makes sense then there is a correlation of what's okay to censor and why, and what's not okay to censor and why. And we, I think, now are living in a time where it is more important to make everyone feel comfortable and included than it is to force the artistic integrity, to enforce the artistic integrity of things that may make people feel uncomfortable. And that's where we are.
And I've complained about this on Twitter before, and I see it, and I don't say certain things because I am one of those people that believe that just about anything you say or do is offensive to someone out there, and it drives me nuts.
I know you joke about that a lot, and I think that it is true, but we see it on such a small scale. You know, I mean, we're really sheltered from all of it, not only just because of like being white dudes, but also because of like not living in total war torn poverty and all the other things that are happening and that throughout history and even the world today. And so the counter argument is that of course you would feel this way because you've never needed to feel any other way, which is hard to refute. At the same time, no one knows where we came from or what our background is or what our experiences are. So screw them if that's what they say. But it's true. And so whether you choose this, there are lots of folks that get away with not censoring themselves. And I am really envious of those folks. Andrew Norcross, John O'Nolan, folks that are WordPress people in the community who don't censor themselves. They do have strong opinions and they do communicate them. And I don't have that in me, honestly. I guess it's taken this long in my life for me to realize that I have opinions and thoughts, and I will deduce things and put things together and we will wax intellectual about stuff, but I am not the person who's necessarily going to say, shut your mouth, this isn't right, and I'm going to call you out on it. Because I don't think that way. I know I'm happy that other people do, but I don't think that way. I think the right thing to do today is to censor these lyrics, the same as I censored my crappy quotes in my Hello Dolly plugin, my parody of Hello Dolly. Yeah. I took the ones that had F-bombs and that were offensive, and I commented those out by default because they're not appropriate. If someone wants them in there, go ahead and uncomment them. But they're not appropriate. And so I think that there are lyrics in this that are not appropriate today anymore. And commenting them out or removing them is the right thing to do. But the comments in that post, do you want to talk about those or no?
Well, I was just gonna bring up the fact that we've talked about this on the show, I don't know how many times, but I got blasted again on over the weekend for the comments that I've allowed to be published on the tavern. Because of some of the comments were apparently sexist in nature or degrading or offensive or angry. They made people upset. And the fact the fact that I'm giving these people a platform to speak on is ruining my and the tavern's credibility, and that I should do something about it, and I should remove these people from the community, and I should not allow these things to be published. And I got pretty upset because, you know, my first reaction is, here we go, some armchair quarterbacking of people telling, you know, others how to run their site. And hey, you know, if you read a comment on a website that makes you upset or you think shouldn't be there, then I guess it's the site owner's fault, which I don't know. I don't totally buy, but yeah, you know, the tavern has a comment policy, and do I check every comment against that policy? No. So then, you know, I guess the next question is, well, what the hell is the use of a comment policy? Well, I don't know. We have one there. So I guess, you know, people can read it, but right. I've been very lax on my moderating comments. And for the most part, I let people, even if they're upset, I publish a lot of the comments now. Mm-hmm. You know, this whole thing, to me, the people commenting on the site, and I've said this before, it's a notable website. I don't know if these people have agencies or they're developers or they're notable members of the community, but if you're going to be publishing this kind of, in my mind, stupid bullcrap on the tavern, then that that reflects poorly on that person, on an individual. It's right. Searchable by Google, and it's. I think it comes down to personal responsibility. So I've been mulling this over and giving it some thought, and you know, I like a lot of the comments that, like, Rachel Carden on Twitter responded. And she says, and I agree with her that these comments are actually insight into the WordPress community, into that these people think this, that they say this, and it's an example that this exists. We're in a WordPress bubble, and we all try to be nice to each other, but this is insight into some of the darker parts of the WordPress community. And that even if I were to remove all the inappropriate or offensive comments, it doesn't take away the fact that people are thinking and talking this way anyways. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it doesn't get rid of the problem,
right?
Or the underlying problem, I should say. So, John, you participated in the conversation on Twitter, and I ended up having to take a step back, and I vented to you because it was mm-hmm. much easier to vent to you instead of on Twitter. I've made that mistake before in the past, but you know, the comments saying, oh, you know, I just feel like, hey, look, this person who writing this comment has shown time and time again that they're an idiot. Okay, they're an idiot. Let's move on. But, you know, I don't know.
Well, I guess, like, it's your site, or it's your, like, so Paul Gibbs is kind of, for a buddy, long time Buddy Presley developer and super smart dude, and in like a million different ways. And his initiative has always been to bring your own terms of service, largely with a Buddy Press emphasis, but in general. And that's one of the freedoms that having your own website brings, is you decide what the rules are. And I think that's
your community is what you make it.
And I think that that's what the responses to you are that you shouldn't allow for it to be this, the way that it is. And that was, I think, the only reason I chimed in is because, because I am not the strong personality that's going to knock on someone's door and then tell them what to do. If you ask me my opinion, I'll give it, but it's pretty, hopefully, kind of rare that out of nowhere I'll chime in and tell you, hey, clean up your backyard, 'cause, you know, whatever. It just seems wrong. That seems not the friendly, neighborly thing to do. So But I get it. So do you think, I mean, I can tell you again, my opinion, but I'll ask you the question since this is up to you. Do you think comments are different than a forum? You know, the tavern had a forum back in the day. And even though you get to set what the code of conduct is in a community, it's not really spiritually much different than the expectations that you set for commenting on your posts. It really is kind of just an organizational problem more than it is a boundary problem. And so
I think that, and by the way, this gets into some changes that are coming to the tavern in the future. John's actually helping me out with this. We're going to be using BB Press in the future. We're going to try and merge the comments and forum together. And I believe that will give me the tools necessary to maybe put some people in timeout or to remove mm-hmm. them from the community. Because right now, I guess I could do that, but I mean, it's anonymous comments. They could change their IP address. They could change their email address. Mm-hmm. I feel like I'd be more in control and I'd be more apt to creating the environment that I want within a forum versus just a comment form that people could fill out.
Right. Because there's not, you know, there's not much different, but I think it is enough different where the old forums are really were the heyday of the tavern, where the discussions and the friendly kind of whimsical stuff.
I think back to that all the time, you know, and there's been recent conversations about, well, they never read the tavern. In the past few years, the tavern comments have turned into a soapbox for a couple of individuals, and they just go off every time, every chance they get. And I publish their comments because they're not saying anything drastically wrong for the most of the time. You know, it's their opinions, it's their angst or anger towards WordPress, whatever it is that's going on. But the tavern back in the day, I mean, the community, it was fun. You know, I enjoyed being mm-hmm. on the forum all the time. People helped each other out. People shared code tips. People, mm-hmm. I mean, that's the thing I miss the most about the old tavern forum is people helping each other out. And it was just friendly, you know, and you could have a conversation and things got heated, like the 100-page thread on phone home for WordPress. And we could have a civil discussion and, you know, had multiple viewpoints could be shared under the guise of, look, let's just be cool to each other, you know, and not viciously attack anybody. But the comments on the tavern in the past few years, and I take responsibility for this, has been the complete opposite of that. It's been a sort of an area that you probably don't want to be in, especially if you're new to WordPress or you just want to come and you want to hang out. The comments now have built a reputation in the tavern of an area that it's like the wrong side of the tracks now. And I was thinking about this when we get the forums back on the tavern, I'm going to have to do some heavy duty reputation rebuilding to get that sort of feeling back.
A little bit, I think, but the forums at least give you moderators, right? Like you can set the rules in a forum
I could set the expectations as to what I want and get some people to fulfill those or maintain it.
To help maintain it and enforce it and sort of course correct it and police it and decide. And that grows.
That would be a big help.
Well, and it pulls you out of the crosshairs a little bit. Right now, I think the part that bums people out or that maybe it puts a lot of pressure on you is that you're the one who has to click approve on all these comments. And depending on how you have the tavern's comments set, maybe you don't, maybe some people get, you know, approved automatically or whatever, because they have their previous commenters
I have to approve everyone. And I do have a plugin where I can set, like Matt Mulloway is, I put him on the white list. So he doesn't have to be held up in the moderation queue anymore.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yes,
all these comments and even the ones you don't like, and even the ones that you think, oh my God, I would never let this crap in my house. I've approved them.
Mm-hmm. And I think like, and this is the problem with it being us two alone talking about it, but I'm happy to do it, is that personally, I think I agree, but that's based on my experiences of running kind of social software and knowing that a little bit of that conflict is kind of hard to avoid, and that there is a fine line between feeling like you're censoring someone who isn't there. Yeah. They're being total jerks because we try and keep the show clean. But I am not going to shut them down because they're not actually being violent or dangerous or breaking the law. That's where Rachel Carden's replies on Twitter, I think, were very level-headed and helpful. But I don't think that BB Press is a magic bullet for this, or that it actually will turnkey solve any problems. But I do think it brings better moderation tools.
To me, I think it will provide the tools for me to do a better job on making the community better.
Yep.
So that's where it comes down. All right.
So let me ask you a question. Let me put you under the bus for a second.
Okay.
Is when these comments come in, what do you do? How do you feel? What is your process when you see a comment come in from one of the folks with a reputation like you were talking about?
Regulars?
I guess. Yeah. What do you?
I read the comment. I may think to myself, you know, what? I mean, and there are one or two instances where I've actually gone in and replied to them and said, hey, look, you know, I've noticed this over the course of time. Why do you feel this way? Why do you continue to use mm-hmm. WordPress? Why do you continue to put yourself in a situation that makes you feel this way? And it turns out, you know, then their argument is, well, you know, God, can anybody have criticisms of WordPress? So, you know, and they start getting on the defensive mode anytime you start questioning why they're so angry and upset and criticizing so much all the time. But I usually read the comment and I just shake my head and go, boy, what an idiot. And I just hit approve. And then, you know, I got a handful of opinions, you know, and those are my personal opinions of some of the comments on the site that, you know, this is dumb. Why? I mean, why? But, you know, I just hit approve because I can't. Not that right. I can't, but I choose not to, you know, just, I don't know if censor is a word, but you know, right. I tend to let, as long as it's not any of those above and blatantly racist, all that other stuff, you know, I'm going to hit publish. Because and we may not like what they're saying, and they may always, you may use the tavern commentary as a soapbox, but there's also the other point where, if they tried to say those things on any of the make blogs or any of the official outlets for WordPress, they would be silenced.
Yep. So do you think that your approach is because of your experience with the forums previously? Because I know that like on the BuddyPress and BBPress forums, and my love for forums comes from old school forum software anyways. So, generally speaking, forums have off-topic sections that go in every direction, and conversations can go wherever they're going to go. And then the community, the subculture within your forum, will duke it out. They will self-police and course correct as needed. And so do you think that this really is just the difference between comments and forums is that you're the filter and the forums are self-policing? And do you think that this is just a barrier for other people, or what, or is it just the, like, if there's forums, do you think people will just force you I don't know, like, what do you think happens?
Well, one of the reasons why the tavern forums were successful before is because I wanted a friendly bar type atmosphere where we can get together, we could be friends, we could talk about stuff, but you know, let's try to keep the flipping tables to a minimum, you know, broken glass everywhere. And I worked overtime. I was in the forums all the time, and anytime something came up, I was there. I monitored it. I maintained the status quo of a great atmosphere to participate in the conversation. I have not done that with comments. In fact, a lot of the comments, I've just, quite frankly, I'm kind of like tired of dealing with that. And I'm like, boy, you know, it'd be nice if I just turned comments off and I wouldn't have to deal with any of this stuff. But
well, that's what everyone's doing, right?
But exactly. And but I feel like if we get the forums back, I'll be able to go in there. I'll be able to maintain the community I want. I won't have to worry about anonymous postings. And then I'll have the ability to remove the people that are giving me too many problems for the community, the atmosphere I want. So.
Right. The other thing that forums do is they do attach a registered user and a profile to the history. So it does make it easier.
It gives users a reputation too, right? So and like I said on Twitter, that's one more reason why you probably want to be a good netizen, you know,
right.
Because you end up with a reputation there. All right, so there you go. Some inside baseball about what it's like to manage comments on a popular website. Maybe take a few things away from there. But so we had Tevye Washburn. He's been building sites for about 20 years. Been building them on WordPress for about 10. He's behind the WordPress company WordExpress, and lives out there in Idaho. And he created this. He wrote a great guest post on the Tavern called "Why Gutenberg and Why Now." He uses historical metaphors and looks at the topic of innovative disruption and how it relates to why Gutenberg and why now. And he brings up about Blockbuster as an example of someone who did not disruptively innovate themselves and got swallowed up by Netflix. So a pretty good example. And just a shout out to Tevye. It's a great post. The thing I like about it the most is the optimism expressed about Gutenberg. And this is one of the best well-received posts. I know Matt Mullenweg himself, he enjoyed the post. It's got like over 72 likes, which is very good for a post on the Tavern. It's been well-received. Of course, there's been a couple comments or some of the things that he wrote. For example, in the post, Tevye says, "I was certain the conspiracy theorists who seem to believe that automatic soul mission is to make their lives more miserable were wrong," end quote. And he's probably being a little facetious there, you know, air quotes, but a lot of people have read that and said, "Well, stopped reading, won't read anymore." You know, there's some things in there that's some of the responses people have had to the post. But by and large, there's actually been quite a few good comments, you know, good, engaging, thoughtful comments about the topic here. So if you haven't had a chance to check it out, I highly encourage you to give it a read.
It was good. It was really in depth, and it was like the type of long form blog post that I miss sitting down and reading. Honestly, I think that's why it got the response that it did. And I'm always surprised at how many people also use Jetpack likes in comments. Like there are lots of comments here that have tons of comment likes and stuff too. So, it was a really good post. You need to do more of those.
Yeah, I need to find people who will write those.
That's
I shouldn't write them, or should I write them?
If only you had a podcast or some venue where you could ask for people to write guest posts on the Tavern. If only.
Well, it was nice to him. He actually approached me with the idea, and I said, "Hey, I like that. Let's work on it." So we worked on it together. I helped him edit it and gave him some pointers, and bam.
Well, and this is how often in the coding side or on the design side, people get to help everyone all day. Iterate on patches, iterate on designs, iterate on changes. I'd like to see you and Sarah, I'd like to see every authors, writers, reporters, journalists do more like this.
Well, I'm trying to.
This is a good use of your abilities. I think this was a super good.
And it makes me feel good to have someone publish that post, to use the Tavern as a way to expose their thoughts, whatever they may be, to a large audience, and to have people respond that way to his posts, I think it's pretty cool. He was pretty excited about the opportunity. So, speaking of comments, noteworthy changes coming in WordPress 4.9.5. It now has almost 50 comments on the post. Wow. Unbelievable. So some of the changes coming in 4.9.5, which is scheduled to be released next week, actually. Mm-hmm. So the Cheen Huh message that's been in WordPress for God knows how long, it's been swapped out for more meaningful error messages, depending on what's going on there. The recommended PHP version in the about file for WordPress will be increased to 7.2, so it will match the text on the WordPress.org about page. And, of course, something that we already covered was that the offensive lyrics are removed from Hello Dolly. And, you know, and again, the Cheen message, this was actually referenced by Eric Mayer. I remember in his keynote at WordCamp Northeast Ohio 2016 when he was talking about designing for real life. And he participated in a track ticket with a list of suggestions. But, you know, so let's say you're in WordPress and you're doing something. Maybe you mess up and you see this error message that says cheating, huh? And the emotional response from some people is, well, how dare you accuse me of trying to cheat the system? You know, it could be upsetting. You know, it's not informative. It doesn't help you. It doesn't make you realize where you messed up or what went wrong. Mm-hmm. And it's just it's a dumb error message. Yeah. And some of the folks say, well, it adds to character. It's a funny thing. It's whimsical. It's none of that. It's terrible.
See, I think it's, there is a place for that message, but it isn't everywhere. And that's what happened, was it got severely overused as the default way to just trap a user in a place. Yeah. I think I can remember probably one of the first times that I saw that message and went like, I don't know what to do from here. There's like no,
there's nothing you can do. Except maybe hit the back.
Yeah. There's not even a link to go back.
Right.
And yeah, the first time that I saw that message, I was probably in IRC and instantly was like, what? What is this? This is it? This is as good as it is? Oh, come on. But then it ended, like, the reason to keep it the same everywhere was to keep the number of translated strings down. It wasn't to have a million different error handling output, and now we're in a more mature platform where that's okay. I don't think WP Die experience in general is terrible. The screen that says nothing, that leads you nowhere.
The white screen of death, right?
It just is. It seems so final, and there is a time and a place for that, but it isn't what a registered, logged-in author of a site should ever see. So it's good that we're making progress.
So speaking of 4.9.5, 4.9.5 was going to have the a call-out prompt to try Gutenberg, which is something the core team tried to do last October, but the prompt was removed in WordPress 4.9 Beta 4 because after discussing it with Matt Mullowig, it was decided that Gutenberg wasn't at a point where it was ready for prime time, like large-scale testing. So he liked the idea. He just says, no, maybe we could put it off until Gutenberg is a bit more mature and goes through some more iterations. So 4.9.5 was going to be the place. However, Gary Pendergast, one of the core contributors to WordPress, updated me in the comments. A comment I'd love to read, you know, a good comment. He says that there's been a change of plans and this won't be happening in the 4.9.5 release. There's still a few issues they'd like to fix up before the call-out happens, and it won't be done in time for the 4.9.5 release. He says he expects there will be a smaller 4.9.6 release that contains this call-out and any bug fixes that happen to be ready. So I was checking out I was testing it out, and they call it Magic Installs or Magic Updates, I believe was the feature that was built into WordPress a couple versions ago. So there's a little prompt that users will see, and it'll say something like, would you like to try the new editing experience with links to like the GitHub repo or how to report issues? And there's a button, and the button will change depending on your user permissions and whether you can install a plugin or not. But the button, in most cases, it'll say install today. So you click it, it'll actually download and install the plugin, and then the button will change to activate. So in two clicks, you'll be able to install and activate Gutenberg. I mean, it's that easy. It's pretty cool how that works.
Pretty cool.
But the thing I don't like about, or the thing that's concerning to me about this callout box is that, first of all, I think we talked about this before. It sort of can set a precedent for things like this in the future. Gutenberg is beta software. It's not finalized. It's not finished. So we're actually creating a call out asking users, hey, would you like to try beta software on your live site? And which, what have we said all these years? No, you always want to use beta software on a staging site first. You know, you don't want to use beta software on a production site. No, bad idea. Well, we're kind of going against the grain with this. But in this call-out box, there's no mention of risk or concerns of running beta software on a live site. And I think that's a bit concerning.
Well, you know, I agree. But it's like, it's a cultural problem with software across the board, where really smart folks at Apple will ship Siri in beta and then leave it in beta for 2 years running on, you know, 60 million sites or whatever it was back then. I think Siri's like out of beta now, but there was never any like official, hello, Siri is out of beta, because it's always been terrible. So there is like a cultural problem of like developers just kind of field testing their half done.
No, we have to thank for that. Web 2.0 when everything was beta.
Is that what it is? Yes.
Yeah. That made beta cool.
Back in my day, there was no web 2.0 and everything was burned onto a cartridge and you had to plug it into your Nintendo, and that's the way it was, and we liked it.
I mean, so looking at this call out, it's like a double edged sword when I think about it. We need to have as many users as possible test Gutenberg so we could figure out the pain points. But on the other side, I know that there are going to be users out there that this plugin adversely affects, whether it's their content or something else. And if they don't do a full backup, there's that possibility of, oh boy, you know, their content is broke. They can't get it back to the way it was. And there's going to be some headaches.
Here's my concern with it.
What is your concern, by the way?
If 4.9.6 ships with this in it and it breaks people's sites, it will require a 4.9.7 to remove the call out.
Because it's built into core.
Because it is baked into WordPress core. This call out has already been removed 2 times. It is still being iterated on today. We are smarter than this. We can do a better job at delivering this feature.
Beep, beep, that's the bus.
In a way, I know. Hitting me hard. Just plowing me over. I am roadkill at this point. I know that we have limited resources. I know that this is a big deal and it's a hard job. I know that I haven't helped contribute to any of this code. So who am I to talk about how and what and why the approach is? I mean, all of those things.
So you believe it should be a widget fed by the API. So it's not tied to WordPress core. It could be switched out. It could be changed. We could use it for other purposes, and it's not, and like you said, release agnostic.
Yeah, I mean that's the right way to do this. If we had a choice and we were going to sit down and decide how do we announce future features in a piece of software, And how do we give someone the option of, how do we control it? How do we turn it off if it goes bad? How do we show people what's coming if it's good and ready? You wouldn't do it. Well, you burn it onto your AOL disk and then you mail it to everyone. And then when it's bad, you have to mail everyone a new version. That's what this is. We're baking it into WordPress core. And then if it doesn't go well, we have to release a new version and hope that people get it to remove the call out. We know better than that. It doesn't work. That's the least efficient way to solve this problem, or to at least address or to get the word out about Gutenberg or anything else. We have the stack built to give us api.wordpress.org reports all sorts of other random things, contributor avatars and other things. So why wouldn't we use that for this? It doesn't seem like the right way to do this. And so without being educated and being on the side of like knowing how you want to get stuff done and how you don't have time to architect a completely brand new fire hose feature for all of WordPress dashboard core to feed in new fancy, but I understand how the other part of it is. But if you can't do that, then don't do this, is how I feel about it. And the only reason that I'm sharing this here, and I really didn't want to, is because this track is sort of open for discussion and feedback. No one's going to ask my opinion on WordPress core track. Some a multi-site user roles, maybe someone will chime in, but or someone will ping me. But this isn't my wheelhouse. But this still doesn't seem right to me, and so it's hard to not chime in with some feedback. And I feel pretty strongly that this is not the right way to do this, but that I'm not. I don't know how to effectively communicate that in a way that will make a difference. So.
You just did. But the actual idea, this notion of creating a call out or creating a plugin and being able to test functionality, like beta test functionality on a live WordPress install, that seems pretty cool to me in terms of, I wonder what other ways that could be used in the future to test things out. That seems pretty cool. Yeah.
We talked about this in early BuddyPress component days when we were abandoning the wire and the status component and merging them into activity. It would be nice if there is a way to say, hey, is this really what you want? Is this what you prefer? Is some single feed instead of two separate components? And if there was a way to go, okay, try it and let us know. And it was just we weren't there to build it at the time for the same reasons that they don't want to build it for Gutenberg now, but it would be great. It's awesome to have it. It would just be nice to not have to redo it every time that we want to do it.
Right. Well,
what do you think? Do you have Gutenberg running on the Tavern right now or no?
Yes. No? Yes. In fact, today I was actually going to write about my experience of the past few months using Gutenberg and things I've run into. And, I could talk a little bit about it here the thing that gets me about Gutenberg still to this day is the lack of, I rely on plugins, and the fact that some of these plugins do not work or are compatible with Gutenberg drives me nuts. I almost cannot use Gutenberg because it does not use these plugins. For example, the publish post preview, or preview publish post, where it adds a checkbox to the publish meta box. There's a checkbox there, and when you click save, it'll give me a randomly generated link that I can give to people so they can preview a post on the Tavern without me having to publish it first. Works great for instances like the guest post, right? Yeah, they could see how it's going to look on the Tavern. Well, that stuff is not non-existent because it doesn't use the Gutenberg API, whatever, to put itself in the meta box. So that doesn't work. The Telegram plugin I use, where I can push posts to our Telegram, to a subscription or the account that we have set up, I can push stuff. Stuff is published to Telegram, but the meta box, I click the arrows below the post and they do nothing. The boxes don't open. So when I go to edit a post, I can't open that meta box and say, do not publish to channel. So if I make an edit and I click publish again, it will send the link in the post again, like I just published it to the Telegram subscribers. Very annoying. The spell checker, I have no access to the spell checker that I have in the regular editor because it's, there's no API. There's no, nothing there for it. And then I just found out that trying to add an image and align it to the right in a paragraph block is cumbersome right now in Gutenberg, where, you know, in the regular editor, I put the caret or the cursor next to the text at the beginning of the paragraph where I want to insert the image, you know, click add media. I choose the image. I put it in there and I say align right. And it's like, wow, okay, that's done. In Gutenberg, I have to actually think, well, I have to create a new image block, which that already throws me off. I have to move the image block up, which actually puts it inside the paragraph block. That makes no sense to me logistically. And then I have to click align right. And in the default editor, I can click on the image and say use small, large. You know, I have different sizes I can choose. In Gutenberg, it disappears. I have to use the handlebars on the corners of the image to control the size. So all in all, I mean, by and large, I've had some pretty good experiences with Gutenberg. I've had some nightmarish experiences with Gutenberg. But, you know, if it was going to be pushed out in core today, I'd be very upset because the plugins I rely on are not compatible with it. Those plugins and even that user experience I talked about, that flow with the images, if people use Gutenberg and they're trying to do stuff that – and their reaction is, well, it's a lot easier to do this in the old editor. But those are the flows and the user experiences that have to be better, that have to be refined and better in Gutenberg or else – ah, man, there's a lot of friction there. People just want to go back to the old editor.
Well, that's why we still have HTML or code, the text-only mode. We've got visual and text. It's because originally it was just text, and you need to have both, right? You need to have – and Matt's talked about this on the show before, but how often does the visual editor treat you wrong, and then you got to dip into the HTML version and correct something and then go back – into the code editor.
And, well, and I ran into a problem there where I copied text from a Google Doc, I pasted it into Gutenberg, and to my surprise, everything looked great. It actually put it everything in blocks. Then I switched to text, I looked at the, I wanted to do a spell check on the post, so I opened it up in the classic editor. It was just filled with a bunch of stuff, so I said, okay, I don't want to deal with this. So I put it back into Gutenberg. And now I added all these weird empty paragraph blocks in between the paragraphs. So I had to go through and edit those, and it just made
it auto-keyed.
Made the whole process cumbersome. I do want to add that the workflow about adding an image inline into the paragraph blocks is being worked on. There's a ticket on GitHub, and they're actively working on that. But an interesting experience there.
I think your experience is indicative of what most people's experience could be, kind of in both directions, like bigger publications and individual journalists. You're kind of uniquely qualified, suited to be right in the bullseye of, there are going to be VIP level, upper echelon style sites that are, paying folks like Liquid Web and Pagely and so on the big bucks. And they have insane editing experiences and workflows that Gutenberg will not understand. You'll have individual. Yeah. They had a good,
where it's a planning issue.
Yep. But then every other individual personal blogger they have installed 10, 15 random plugins and they're going to have the same experience that you did. Even my post type switcher plugin, I haven't updated it to work with Gutenberg yet. And so I'm guilty of this. I am one of those folks who hasn't updated their plugin to work with Gutenberg. And so
And some plugin developers are saying that they're not going to build in support for Gutenberg now because everything's still in flux. The APIs haven't been settled on, so they're just it's a wait and see approach.
Yeah, and that's always been the problem with plugins in general overall is that everybody waits and sees, and then everybody's waiting forever because nobody comes back and circles around to it. My concern with your experience with Gutenberg is that the early days of all of this is that Gutenberg really is still a separate application inside of WordPress admin. And it won't be years from now where it'll feel native to WordPress, I don't think. It fits in really nicely now, but it's such a different application inside of WordPress. Kind of like how the customizer is a separate application inside of WordPress. It's a brand new set of UI conventions, and the customizer and the Gutenberg have a lot in common, but they are completely unique, separate applications inside of WordPress admin, not just in layout with it being bias left and bias right, but they're completely different, bespoke, separate teams with separate goals, separate UI conventions, styling, clicks, buttons, everything is a totally different application inside of WordPress. And so your experience of dealing with plugins and Gutenberg echoes what makes me scared about all of it is it's the same thing with WordPress itself. WordPress itself is getting really fragmented. You know, one doesn't really talk to the other. They're two totally disconnected pieces. So it's fun for a while, but
well, I know we're going to be going through some turbulent times here.
Yeah. The next generation of WordPress contributors and users, they're going to be the ones that come in and go, what happened here?
I'm particularly tighten it
back up.
I'm interested to monitor the Gutenberg plugin support forums when that call out comes out in WordPress and just read the various experiences or issues people have. That's going to be enlightening. So to speak, to see all the various use cases and issues that are discovered thanks to this call out. So let's wrap it up here. Unless we got anything else to talk about, we'll do our picks of the week and then we'll skedaddle out of here.
Sure.
So let's see.
Sounds good.
I'll do my pick. So I wrote up an article. I found this out thanks to a hat tip on Twitter. How you can disable push notification request in Firefox. So earlier this month, Mozilla released Firefox 59.0, and they actually added a new privacy feature that allows you to block sites from sending push notification requests. So if you go open the options panel, you look at the privacy and security tab, there is a permissions section. And if you click on the settings button for notifications, you could check a box that says block new requests asking to allow notifications. So that prevents all these websites from sending you a notification. Now, you might, I think there's a different option that you could check mark to block requests for location requests. Like if you go on Google or you're going to a restaurant or something, it needs location information. That's also a request, and you can block those. But this is just one more thing not bugging me while trying to browse the internet, because almost every site now is using web push and they want to say, hey, would you like a notification? No, that's why I have RSS. That's right. Why I subscribe to your feed so I can read it as I see it. So there you go. I have this tip written up on the Tavern. It's pretty simple, pretty quick. And you can also do this in Chrome too. I linked to a tutorial on the field guide. It's a Gizmodo site that walks you through how to disable them in Chrome. So there you go. One less thing bothering me.
We have a trend for this episode because my pick of the week is going to be Mozilla's Facebook container.
Oh yes.
You know, in the wake of all of the
Cambridge Analytica.
Yeah, all of that. And so Mozilla, some of the fine folks over there, put together a extension or an add-on for Firefox called Facebook Container. And it basically just sandboxes Facebook. And so if you go to Facebook in a browser tab, it keeps it from reaching out and snooping or listening or doing anything and anything else other than that Firefox tab. And it seems a little silly that this is even necessary, but here we are. And so, you know, in the ways that I do still kind of firmly believe we probably shouldn't have ever put any of our information in any of these big networks, I get why you have to, because everyone else is there. And so if you're like me and you have a Facebook account and you're starting to think about not having a Facebook account, maybe this might be a decent stopgap to at least make your Facebook footprint a little bit smaller. So
you know, there are some out there who are looking at the whole Facebook situation going, this is why we need GDPR, global GDPR.
Well, the one thing that GDPR might theoretically help with is the permanent deletion of your Facebook information. People around the web that are saying, don't delete your Facebook account yet. Wait until they have to delete your data. If you delete it today, the terms that you're agreeing to are that they can hold on to your data forever, because they might have to. But
yeah, and if you re-log in or you recreate your account, isn't it weird how all your stuff just shows up like just as you left it?
Right. Who'd have thought? How did that happen?
Anyway,
so that's my pick of the week. There's one for Chrome. There are others, but shout out to the nice folks at Mozilla for being ahead of the ball on this one.
Mm-hmm. All right, so that's going to do it for this episode of WordPress Weekly, the last one in March. Hey, baseball starts tomorrow. So
March of 2018.
2018. That's correct. Yeah.
Not 2017.
2018, that's correct.
Are you into baseball? Baseball's your thing.
I enjoy baseball. I enjoy baseball.
I know I've seen you tweet about it a little bit, but that's no
football. I enjoy Dollar Dog Night too.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, that's
Chicken hot dogs, man. I just wolf them down one by one. Of course, I don't feel good afterwards because of all the nitrates in the hot dog. Usually I go with Nathan's. Nathan's is good, man.
I like that this is good. These are good tips for locals. This is important. Nathan's, this is important information.
$2 all beef hot dog. Got to go with Nathan's.
Well, and there's what do you prefer, Nathan's or Cheesecake Factory?
Cheesecake Factory, of course.
Really? I don't know. I'm totally fine with hot dogs. It doesn't bother me at all. But
and by the way, my first Nathan's was at the Newark Airport. That's the first time I had a Nathan's hot dog. Somebody recommended it to me, and it was the first time I had a Nathan's beef dog, and it blew my mind about how good it was.
There's Nathan's a place
all
that's,
the way.
There's a place that's close to us. That's like I think it started in Chicago, Chicago area. Portillo's.
Yep. Yep, Portillo's. That's a famous joint in is it the sausage dog or it's something I sausage?
Think, yeah, I think so. And
I
so we
get a chance to go there last time I was there. I went to a different place and it was just as good.
Yeah, and people go crazy for Portillo's. The thing about Portillo's that always is weird to me is their drive through. Have you ever been to a Portillo's drive through?
No.
So their drive through isn't just like, here's a window, place your order, and then like go to the next window and pay and then or whatever, right? It's they usually have multiple people in the Portillo's drive through that are managing
that at my local Chick-fil-A. They do that.
Really?
Yeah, they have employees outside taking orders and directing traffic, and they have two lanes of people driving in, and it's busy all day long
because it's busy.
Crack Chick-fil-A. it's chicken crack. Yeah, I think this is a good point. Let's wrap up the show. Before we start talking about crack fries at Mad Cat.
Oh, crack fries. Yeah, that was great.
So that's going to do it for this hungry, excitable, edible edition of WordPress Weekly. You can find show notes for this show and all other episodes on WPTavern.com. Follow me on Twitter at Jeffro, J-E-F-F-R-0-U. How about you, John?
AOL keyword JJJ.
Yeah. Okay.
No. Right. GitHub and Twitter at JJJ. JJJ.blog.
So that's going to do it. Everybody enjoy the rest of your week. We'll talk to you again next Wednesday afternoon. Say bye, John.
Bye, John. Bye, everybody.